day comes and I find myself standing in the sun.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hello, I'm Pastor Jerome Ryan, the founder and CEO of the Love Center. We've been serving the region for over 30 years, helping families rebuild their lives. We're expanding our services. The Workforce Discipleship Center providing housing for the working class homeless. Yes, repeat, for the working class homeless, for single men and single women. We are offering financial literacy and strategies along with spiritual discipleship. For more information, please call the Workforce Discipleship Office at 772-207-6925. Again, 772-207-6925. Our staff is waiting to assist you or someone you know.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. You're listening to Kingdom Recovery, and I'm Luann, and I'm with...
James Rynch.
Hallelujah. You have to hear his voice so you know he's really here. I can't just say. Okay. So how are you doing, James?
Good. How are you
very
doing?
Very good. Very good. So last week we had Pastor Tom on, and it was really good. We talked about kingdom mentality and, you know, just a lifestyle of living in the kingdom. Hallelujah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
So we've been talking about in step 12, because we relate the word of God to 12-step program, 12-step, the 12-step groups of Alcoholics Anonymous, OA, whatever group, even in therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy is very similar to that type of format. So we've been on step 12, which states... having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, and we went through the steps throughout the few years we've been doing this, we go through the steps, which how they relate to God's word, and we line it up with God's word, because God's word was first, and that's how they got the program. That's how anything started, basically, if you really want to peel the back of the onion. God started it first. So, and what we do is we bring it to line up with God, and we bring it to Jesus, because we want to lead, everything should lead to Jesus in our lives. So even if we're in groups or at work or in our family, our life should be following Jesus, towards Jesus. Wherever he goes, we follow, right? So the word, so in the 12th step, it talks about the result of accepting Jesus Christ, because that's step one, as your Lord and Savior. Step two, we relate it to receiving the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And step three is giving your life up to obedience to God's will, his word, his way. So those are three crucial steps that are mandatory. The other ones, we can slack off. We can, you know, practice them, experience them, exercise them in our life or not. And that's what gives us the ability to have deliverance and freedom and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost if we're practicing these principles in all our affair. Because the principles are the character of God. And step 12 does say, as a result of understanding and experiencing God in our life, now that we receive Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and we're filled with the power to be able to move mountains, to be able to not to, I guess, what would I say? be tempted and not fall to sin, because sometimes you get tempted, but you can speak to it and not, you know, you're not powerless over temptation. That's what I should say. So with that, step 12 is about operating fully. The whole thing is for love, right? So we tried to carry this message to others, how we went through all of it, how we experienced God, how we develop spiritually with God and His Word, and what are the things that, and because we, it's a program, right, of attraction in the natural, but even in the spiritual, the light of God shining through you is attractive to other people, especially dark, when darkness sees the light and they see that someone's overcome and they're living a life of victory, of deliverance, of freedom and peace. That's attractive. So we want to practice these principles in all our affairs, the principles of God, virtues, values, moral ethics. And then especially to all those still sick and suffering, right, to practice these principles in all our affairs. And that's to me, be able to bring it to other people and bring it service. It's charity. It's love. I cannot love others and serve others properly in the fullness of God, the way God called me and created me to love, if I don't practice these principles, these moral values. And when I say principles, the steps that I talk about give us honesty, hope, faith, courage, those things. But in God's Word, it talks about His moral character. And if we study God's Word and we spend time with God, Holy Spirit will teach us who God is and what He does and His character. And we should be transforming by the renewing of our mind in the image and likeness of our Father, our Creator, God, right? So my name is Luann. I'll say it again. This is Kingdom Recovery. And my number, if you want to call, if you want to call in today and, you know, share a testimony, that's great. You know, as a result of these steps, maybe how they affected your life or how maybe, or maybe you have a question. 631-745-7980 is my telephone number. If you want to talk to me privately, if you'd like to call the station, it's 772-221-1100. Okay, and with that, we're going to be talking about, we were talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And we spoke about, James and I was talking about the word of knowledge last time. And then we had Pastor Tom on. But now we shared with everybody that we would be talking about the gift of prophecy. So I want to say that there are, before we start on that, there are various gifts of the Spirit. But we will be talking about all nine of them. We're going to talk about them in detail, but today we'll talk about specifically the gift of prophecy. Let me just get my Bible. James, can you read 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11, because it talks about the gifts, the spiritual gifts?
Yes.
Thanks.
Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you understanding that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, there are diversities of gifts by the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, and to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one is same Spirit, dividing to every man several that is withal.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, so last week we spoke about the Spirit, well, 2 weeks ago actually, the spiritual gift of knowledge. And this week we are going to talk about the spiritual gift of prophecy. But first I want to touch on something about the nine gifts of the Spirit. So the gift of revelation, revelation, what's under that, that the spiritual gifts that are under that would be word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. That's when we reveal something. Okay? Gift of power. That's when we do something. That's faith, working of miracles, and gift of healing. And then the gift of inspiration is, and this is for the church, it's to edify, encourage, and comfort the church, and individually for us too. The Holy Spirit does that with us, and then he manifests through us for the church. And the gift of inspiration is to say something. And that would be prophecy, unknown tongues, and interpretation of tongues. So what we're talking about today is under the gift of inspiration. And in the Word of God, it says it's the most important of all three, the unknown tongues and the interpretation. Because you need, first of all, prophecy. It takes those two, an interpreter and everything, the two of those, to do the one in prophecy. Prophecy, it only takes prophecy. So God expects us to use our spiritual gifts. In Romans 12, 3, 8, which I will go to. James is studying too. We're studying together, all of us. Isn't this nice? Okay, so Romans 12, 3, 8. Say amen when you get there. amen. Okay. 3 through 8 says, serve God with spiritual gifts. So, 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. In ministry, let us use it in our ministries. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberally. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Praise God. Okay, so spiritual gifts build up the body of Christ, and we need to be able to do that. So God gave us spiritual gifts. There's not one spiritual gift. He wouldn't tell us that he's going to give us spiritual gifts that we can't operate in. If he chooses to use us and we're open and we have faith, we believe his word, he will be able to operate through us much easily than fighting him. I mean, sometimes, yes, we might say, I can't do that, but step out in faith. You know, James was talking about the last time, you know, just it's better to, even if you don't feel like you can do something, if you hear God telling you to go say hello to somebody, start there. Start in those little still small voices, because that's stepping out. That's actually a gift of faith. If you want to operate, you know, when you're stepping out in what you hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you.
Well, you're stepping out in faith. I do just want to say there's a supernatural gift of faith that is not tied to our faith. When it comes,
doesn't matter.
Like say somebody's in a wheelchair, and if it comes, there's nothing. You know it's going to happen.
Amen.
I've only had that a couple of times, but it's very powerful.
Amen. That's right.
So the gift of faith, because we all have a measure of faith.
A measure of faith.
We have to push through the fear.
Step out in your measure, and he'll use you for it. He'll pour on the gift.
And the enemy will hit you whenever you...
Yes.
I was in the store, and a guy was limping. I hope I didn't tell this last week. And he'd ripped his toenail off, and I was at a parts store where I see the guy every day. And people came in, and I literally... Even though I've prayed for thousands, fear came on me so hard. I go in the bathroom, I'm about hyperventilating, and I'm going, Lord, this might be the only chance this guy has to know you're real. I've got to do this. I can't let this go. He may never. And I've always seen an addiction on him of some kind. And I pushed through. Can I pray? And he let me pray. And I thank you so much for praying. I'm like, check it out. What? Check it out. And he was shocked when the pain was gone.
Amen. So. Amen. So what we're talking, I'm just reading all different types of gifts that the Holy Spirit, you know, spiritual gifts, the way God wants to operate through us, okay? And then we'll get more into the prophecy of it too. So in Ephesians 4:11-13, it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So these are just different scriptures that are talking about the way God wants us to operate in step 12. To be able to go out and do service properly for him, unto God, not for our own benefit and needs, not to, you know, be seen, or it's for God's glory. Hallelujah. And when we do a 12-step call, that's what they call it, and, you know, when we're going, I would say a deliverance for us in the spirit, in as Christians, I would say we do deliverance in the recovery community, they would say a 12-step call, but it's deliverance, you know, and it's helping another person come into Christ fully. And they could be, hey, listen, people relapse, even in programs, you know. It doesn't mean that they're not, that they never was sober or that they never got it. You just want to bring them back to where they know where God is, basically. So spiritual gifts ought not be denied or overemphasized, and that's in and overemphasized means do not scoff the prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. And in 1 Thessalonians, it says, I didn't write my scriptures this time. I usually write them down, but I felt like I needed to do Bible study with everybody, the way everybody else. So it gives everybody more time to turn, which is really good, right? So 5:19-22 says, do not quench the Spirit. And these are ways we can keep him from operating through us, keep him from operating in power, or keeping the power from experience the power in our own life, but in other people's lives to work through us. So do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. So there's an obedience that's also needed when we're doing service for the Lord. It's to be obedient and to line up with his will, be in agreement with God in our lifestyle, in our thinking, in our words. And that's when the miracles of God can really manifest through you. It's his miracle through you, but we give him access. And then when we're obedient, that's our love to him. And when our love and his love collide, miracles happen. Hallelujah. So, and like with James, he ran in the restroom because the flesh and the enemy wants to get in his head, and he has to get back in the heart and say, God, I want to do this, and I love you, and I want people to see you and know you the way I know you. And that's all it is. And then you get inspired. That's edifying yourself. It's the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
You know, I just want to share, I had a woman that had a platform shoe, her leg grew out, and she was in a denomination that didn't move in healing and stuff, a very big church, and they were all excited, wanted me to come teach them. And then, and that had happened the day before. And then I went Wednesday night, and the lady introduced me. And this happens oftenly, but I always straighten it out. This is James, and he's come to share. And we thank you so much for, because we know you have that gift of healing. Then when I got to talk, I said, like, look, we all can move in the gift of healing. anybody can move in any of the gifts this God chooses. He doesn't want to heal somebody and like, oh, I wish somebody was here with a gift of healing, but I can't do it. You know, God's not up there wringing his fingers. And I actually took them and I didn't pray for anyone, just like I did in the Baptist church. I just got each one of them to pray and the Lord said, keep it simple. I heard him. And I'd be healed. And that's all I could. Man, everything was healed. People were fixing it, operations. I mean, elbows, backs, knees, just about everything was, it was awesome. There's one guy that wasn't healed. And the Lord showed me before the meeting that there was a little issue there.
Because unbelief, too, can keep you from receiving.
And criticalness. Yeah. But anyway, then yesterday, I'm in the sub shop, and there's a guy outside walking around, and I have a thought that I just ran in my mind goes all the time, and I've seen this work with other people. But I was thinking, man, that guy's father expected too much of him. I just start having these thoughts, you know, and I'm thinking it's just me, you know, and he's a black man. A lot of black men don't have fathers in the homes. So I'm like, well, that's not real random to be having these thoughts, you know, and it finally come to me sitting there when I put the whole thing together. I'm like, oh, Lord, is this you? Please don't do this, because it's like stepping out in faith, you know, prophesied by faith. And I went the same thing. I went and got in the car. I went back in to get a drink. I kept trying to keep walking by him because he was outside. And I finally like stopped him. I'm like, look, this might be wrong. It might be right. I don't know. I said, but your dad was expecting way too much of you. And God is well pleased with you just like you are. And he's like, thank you so much. And he's a big old man too. I was just like, the
God.
Fear I felt to approach him. Mm-hmm. I always hit you like that. Mm-hmm.
So it's good that you're sharing that, because there might be people
who are not
stepping out because they're allowing. We give permission. We have the ability, free will, to choose. So even we can allow fear to dictate our behaviors and not step out. So if you hear James saying this, or even some of the stories, I mean, deliverance, you know, a lot of the time for me, for the many years, is leading people to Christ out of, you know, mental torment in the program, in addictions and stuff. You know, once they put the drink down, they're still very tormented, or drugs, or, you know what I mean? And I'm like an interpreter. I guess I would be like an interpreter of how the 12 steps work in someone's life, you know, in all the areas with Christ, you know what I mean? Like, because they get that language. So it's a little different when I'm doing a deliverance, or, you know, because I do it in a fourth and fifth step. you know, but it's deliverance. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. But if you have fear, so when I first started, I thought, oh, these people are going to think I'm crazy, because now I'm taking what they believe, you know, in this certain thing, like there's traditions and things that we know about people and different things. And they're going to say, how do you get there? How do you know that? You know, I don't. God put it in me to share with the people that I'm with. And then same thing. They're like, how did that even happen? It's not me. It's God. God loves you and he wants you free. You know, when the revelations come and everything, when you're sharing with someone. You know, what you're discerning by what they're sharing and what, you know, you're hearing also. So it's really important if you hear that you sometimes find yourself not stepping out because fear or because what they're going to think. That's the enemy trying to keep you from doing what God has designed you and created you to do. And it's to set the captives free. Right? Hallelujah. Oh, we got a call. Okay, here we go, because we don't really. This is new to
this
us.
One?
We're still, yeah.
Or this one. Which one?
The one on the left. Hello, caller.
Hello.
WCNO.
Hello.
Yes, hi. Yes. You're on WCNO. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you guys?
I'm so good. We're good.
I want to talk about what you guys are talking about. I kind of have a little bit, and I just want to get your opinion, because you are Christians and you are walking by faith.
Amen.
But you know, you talk about that little fear of stepping out and talking to other people when God gives you that motion or that notion and say, hey, go speak to this type of person. You kind of act like you're...
Radio,
like, is that really you, God? I don't know. I'm afraid, you know. So yeah. I just want to know, how do you... I mean, I know you have to walk by faith, but it's kind of difficult. I was like the guy that was sitting there with you.
Okay, well, if you can turn your radio down a little, this way we can, there's a little echoing, but I want to say sometimes we need to, stepping out in faith is, if you hear that still small voice, first of all, it's a positive, is if it's telling you to go and share something that would help somebody, right? Encourage, edify, yeah. Comfort. So you know it's coming from a good place. The fear is trying to keep you from doing something good, the God thing. So sometimes we just... It's better to, even if you're unsure, it's better to at least shoot the arrow and miss than not shoot at all. We tell people that all the time. Just step out, maybe a hello, maybe, you know, just glancing and saying hello to somebody if you're not sure who they are. And you can, and just like James shared, I'm not sure if this is right or wrong, but I'm feeling this way, or it's been put in my heart to share this with you. You could always say that you're not sure.
And it will hit hard whether you don't have to say, I mean, the worst thing you can do is say, thus saith the Lord, because if it's the Lord, it's going to hit. So you can say, I'm not sure if this means anything to you. And, but know that when I feel extreme fear, it's usually the Lord, because the enemy knows I just got that word and he's trying to stop me from giving it. So it's all in how you word it, though. Hey, does this mean anything to you? Or you know what I'm saying? I could be wrong, but I felt like... Or a good one is, my friend did the same thing. He started getting worse sitting in a Steak and Shake, and then the waitress come up, and he laid all this stuff out. He was just thinking. He started thinking, maybe this is the Lord. And the way he said it is, I'm practicing hearing the voice of the Lord. So it gives you... That's a good way to put it, too, to get past the fear. I'm practicing here, and I could be wrong, but does this mean anything? And usually their mouth will drop, and you'll...
And if you know the person, one of the things that we, when I disciple some of the other people, I say, you can always say, can I speak into your life? I believe the Lord is telling me something, you know, and if it means anything to you, I just want to share it, you know, and... So you can ask the person if it's okay, if you can say something you feel that is coming from the Lord.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. This radio station really helped me, and I really got encouraged just by listening to you.
Well, praise God.
I was definitely praying God, because he said that he was afraid. And then, you know, that's what prompted me to call in, because when he gave his testimony, I was able to say, you know what, if he could do it, then when that next voice come again, I'm just going to say, just like you said, hey, I don't know if this means anything.
That's right.
I'm just, you know. So it encouraged me. Thank you. And you guys keep going. You guys have a wonderful day.
You too. God bless you. Thank you for calling. That was sweet. Okay. See? So there we go. Because we have all come from there. You know, we all start somewhere, and it can come back on us. And then we have to remember those little treasures, like, oh, I can just say, can I speak into your life?
Does this mean anything to you?
Right. These little things. You know, usually when you know somebody, especially when someone's really feeling off, and then you're like, can I, because you don't want to agitate somebody. Can I speak into your life now? You know, do you mind? And then you can share with that person, or... Does this mean anything to you? It's a great way to open the door.
And if it's, you know, if it's from the Lord, prophecy, it says 1 Corinthians 14:3, he that prophesies speaketh unto men unto edification, exhortation, and comfort.
Amen. Amen. And so God distributes spiritual gifts according to his will. And in Hebrews 2:4, it says, God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Praise God. So we do not scoff the prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. And, you know, the spirit of unbelief wants to come in and doubt, right? And tell you, no, skeptic. No, that's not it. Even if someone wants to prophesy on you, you know, over you, So whenever there's a prophecy in our church, I take it personal. I say, God, I take it. I'm like, I'm going to receive this. Because Amen. God's speaking to all of us all the Amen. Time. Hallelujah, right?
So, I've seen people do that and, like, things happen. Just like, yeah. I'm taking that.
Yeah, one. I'm taking it. Yeah. I'm not stealing it. I'm taking it because it's for everybody. There's more than enough. God. You know, so to scoff is to mock, make fun of, or dismiss, object, or of ridicule. And, you know, sometimes people are off, but I would be very careful even to ridicule and mock and, you know, those people because, you know, I'm sure John the Baptist wasn't the someone, the whole town was probably talking about him since he's a little boy. I mean, yeah. You know what I mean? So you have to be careful about that. You know, they're like, that kid, man.
And anybody can miss it always.
Yes.
Remember that, exactly. No matter how accurate. I've known some very accurate people, and anybody can, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like they're hearing audibly all the time.
Amen. So to speak for another, and, you know, the gift of prophecy, and prophecy means to bubble forth, lift up, to spring forth, flow forth, all right? The ability to receive and communicate a message from God. So this gift is not solely about predicting the future, but also involves interpreting events, discerning truths, and speaking God's word to edify and guide others, just as James read just now. Prophecy, like all the other spiritual gifts, are given to believers to serve the church and demonstrate God's presence. Hallelujah. So prophecy is a supernatural utterance in a known language. So we have utterance in an unknown language, and prophecy is the known language. We will speak in our language to another, and it's coming from God, his scripture. Hallelujah. And then in 1 Corinthians, and James, you read it, 14:1-3. We'll read it again because I think it's important that we really...
I can read it. I got
Go
it.
Ahead. Thank you.
Hey, I want to start at 1, okay?
Sure.
Because it's
it
a
is
little
1,
bit here.
1 through 4.
Okay.
14:1-4.
How about 1 through 5?
I mean 1 through 5. That's what I meant.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Follow after charity, which is love. But they translate charity, which mm-hmm. I love. Mm-hmm. I used to hate that, and then I... come to realize God's love is a giving love. Charity is a good definition because we got sensual filial love that we can call love that God does not call love.
Right. And it's service, know? And that's what step 12 is. Go ahead.
Okay. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For the he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he that prophesies Amen. Speaks unto men unto edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. I would that you all spoke with tongues, but would rather that you prophesy, for greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks in tongues. Except he interpret that the church may be edified. So a tongue can be actually prophecy too. It can mm-hmm. come forth and then be interpreted and be a prophetic word
yes.
too. It says in also in verse 39, wherefore brethren covet to prophesy and forbid not speaking in tongues.
Yeah. So God saying that all can prophesy as he
gives them
the utterance to prophesy, known utterance to prophesy. Okay, and it's important that we know that. So prophecy is for all. He says it, and Paul states you should all covet prophecy. And because it's knowing the word, it's prophesying his word, it's to encourage, comfort, and edify others. Along with yourself, you get that too when you're doing that. So the prophet speaks to all men to edify and exhort and comfort. So what is edification? It's the instruction or improvement of a person morally or intellectually. Hallelujah. It's to teach, instruct, educate, train, guide, enlighten, spiritually uplifting someone to build up. So we want to build up the church, build up other people in the church. Exhortation and an address or a communication emphatically, without a doubt, forcefully, believing with all your heart, soul, mind, urging someone to do something. And that's what you were sharing. When you know, that's like, you know, that's like the word of knowledge even.
Coming that is in. Actually Amen. What I had, word of knowledge.
Amen. Right? So when that means to, it's encouragement, it's to call, it's a warning. It could be a warning sermon, you know, like if you want to encourage somebody, you want to edify and you want to exalt them, but you also might bring up something that is addressing something that they're going in the wrong direction and can be hurtful to them. So to comfort someone is a state of physical ease and freedom from pain or constraint, bondage. We want to, when we prophesy, we can actually lead somebody out of bondage through that too. So, and that's the easing or elevation of a person's feelings of grief or distress, worry. You know, you could prophesy and give hope and faith, encouraging in faith. So it's prosperity, enjoyment, welfare. That's what, when we comfort, that's where it's coming from. It's coming from usually God's giving a message of prosperity, enjoyment, welfare, support, reassurance, and then sympathy, alleviation. So that's the kind of comfort that we prophesy.
And there's all kinds of things. I had cancer in my liver, and this guy was telling me how pure the prophecy was in this church in Palm Beach, and I went down there just curious because I was stage four, and I'd already had it in my colon, and I didn't know what was going on and if I was going to make it or not. And the guy laid his hands on me. He says, "Oh, you're fixing to get an operation. God said, tell you everything's going to go awesome, that the doctor's going to not believe how well this goes. This will be the best operation he's ever had." And the doctor said that. He said, it didn't even bleed. I've never had one not bleed Amen. When they did the liver.
Amen.
They had to cut part of my liver.
So 1 Corinthians 14:39 that James read, it is reminds us, right, to put this gift first. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. We should desire to do that. We should desire to encourage, exhort, and comfort the church by God's word. So, and it's easier, it flows easier the more you know God's word. He can flow easier through us. And you get less fearful when you know his word because you're spending intimate time with him. You're obedient to his word. You're experiencing him daily because you're living in line with his word, his commands, his character. So the one who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but the one who prophesies strengthens the entire church, others. Hallelujah. So prophecy brings a revelation of spiritual knowledge and teaching. Prophecy strengthens the whole church. So the gift of prophecy is not only for believers, but for unbelievers too. God might call us out to speak to even unbelievers, and it brings them in because they see light, they hear hope, they experience love. God loves you. Sometimes that's all you have to tell somebody, is that God loves them, because God knows them. We don't know them the way God knows them. So that, knowing that about God for myself, it's easy for me to, because that's truth. That's the truth. God loves you. That's it. That's a prophecy. God loves you, who's ever listening. James, you want to share something?
Acts, says, "And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius." And another time, the same.
That's what the sisters too, the prophet.
Prophet is actually a man named Agabus, so I always thought that was a woman, to be honest.
No, yeah.
Just confess.
Okay, so the gift of prophecy is not. Do you want me to keep going, James? And then while you're looking for something?
10. Okay. And as we tarried, this is Acts 21:10. Mm-hmm. As we tarried there many days, there came down from Judah a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he had, he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles, which we know also happened with him. Just two examples in there. And I just want to say, because, I mean, divination is actually a demonic counterfeit. It's a wrong spirit.
Right.
And it says about judging, let two or three prophesy and one man judge. But
prophets.
Yes, you're not judging whether it's true. Like, you're judging what spirit it is, because the person with that familiar spirit was saying all truth, following them. These are men of God. They show the way of the world.
And
they,
in Corinthians, the way to salvation. He was trying to correct that because they were going in all different directions with it. You're right.
Yeah.
So it's important. So that's what he was saying.
Judging is judging what, you know, is this the spirit of God or
Amen.
Not?
Amen.
The enemy can prophesy too.
Okay, so the gift of prophecy is not only for believers, but for unbelievers too. And in 1 Corinthians 14, 24-25, you got that, James?
But if all prophecy, and there come in one that believes not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you, and of a truth. And I've seen prophecy totally, people surrender because they just don't think God's real. And if you tell something, nobody
knows. Exactly. That's why it's so important. But I want to read it also in the, this is the NLT, I believe, not the New King James that I wrote on my paper because I was studying out of the Recovery Bible. It says, but if all of you are prophesying and unbelievers or people who don't understand, meaning spiritually immature, they're not, you know, understanding, these things come into your meeting, your church, they will be convicted of sin and judgment by what you say, not who you are, by what you say, because you're speaking the word of God, okay? That we have to remember that it's a spiritual thing. As they listen, their secret thoughts, like the woman at the well, right?
Yeah.
I put a little example there. Will be exposed, and not even to us, but to themselves. It's important that they see themselves, right? They will fall to their knees and worship God, declaring God is truly here among you, because only God can know.
Yeah, and
Amen.
I just want to say, not that it's a big deal, like the because they're both revelatory gifts, but a word of knowledge is something that's happened, a fact, a past, and that's like what Jesus had with the woman at the well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they both, because that's called prophecy a lot, but it's not actually prophecy, hasn't happened. And prophecy can be declaration too.
Right.
It can be predictive or declaratory. And it said, God did not let one of Samuel's words fall to the ground.
Amen.
So you can declare things too.
Amen. Amen.
And declaring the word of God is like you can prophesy.
Okay. So, James, I'm going to let you, because it's the gift of prophecy and the prophet, the ministry of prophecy, okay? The fact that you have prophesied does not make you a prophet.
Yes, the gift of prophecy is not make...
Means you exercise the gift.
It's, and we're just so lacking in America. Mm-hmm. Anything supernatural, I'm just, you know, because God has told me that he's going to release more spiritual power this year.
Amen.
In the whole body of Christ. And I've seen it recently. So we want to be careful because I see people label people so quickly because we're so hungry for the supernatural. It's not happening like it. Some in the, like 30 years ago, it seemed like more was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And we immediately, if someone has a gift of prophecy, can prophesy. Or,
and then we're chasing the prophet.
Like, oh, he's a prophet.
Yeah.
Or he's a prophet.
No good.
Yeah, he's a prophet.
No bueno.
And it's it doesn't make want a prophet having the gift of prophecy. John the Baptist didn't have a lot of great revelation. Behold the Lamb of God. I mean, the greatest revelation in the world, but he didn't do a lot of prophesying, but he was the greatest prophet ever lived. But he had a mantle of a prophet that made a whole nation come out
right.
and be baptized by him. You go out on the beach and let me see,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
30,000 people come out there. I'll say, you got a mantle, was, uh-huh, you know. Uh-huh. And I'm not saying you have to be able to do that, but there's definitely
a difference.
Yes. And we want to just not try to, because the more we exaggerate and try to build ourselves up, then you actually pull, God pulls back because he protects us from pride. So we want to stay humble with it, you know. I'm not.
So can I give an example? This was one of Hagen's examples, and it really made sense to me. He said, a rich man has money, right? And it says, we all have money, but it doesn't make us a rich man. So we can all prophesy, but it doesn't mean we're a prophet, is what he's saying. Just because you prophesy doesn't put you in being the wealthy rich man because you have money in your pocket, you know. And I thought that was really good because sometimes people do confuse it, you
yeah,
know, and it's important.
Actually, the Lord appeared to him 8 times. And the first time he said, I'm going to use you in healing, he said, oh, not that, because it's the 1950s and they make, he said, you need to fear me and not people. He said, tell them I appeared to you, and if they'll believe I appeared to you, they will be healed. And he had crazy healings. Mm-hmm, I mean, mm-hmm. Bound up kids, twisted up, yeah. Cerebral palsy, straightened out. He had all kinds of miracles. And then, like the fourth time he appeared, he talked to him an hour and 45 minutes. And he did that quite a few times, teaching him. And I believe that's why
Amen.
I trust his teaching.
Yes.
And you either believe him or you don't. I know mm-hmm. the guy's real. But he said, I'm going to teach you the difference between a prophet and the gift of prophecy. And a New Testament prophet and an Old Testament
yes.
prophet. He said, because everybody has the Holy Spirit now mm-hmm. in the New Covenant, and I don't want them just leaning on prophets all the time,
right.
even though you can get things you're missing. And but he said, a person that's a prophet has the gift of prophecy and two revelation okay. gifts, whether
right.
discerning the spirits, word of knowledge, word of wisdom,
right.
functioning all the time. So having the gift of prophecy, because I'll tell you, I'm just being honest. I've been around and I've been stayed, and I'm always looking at prophetic. I love the prophetic circles and what's happening all the time. But most prophetic people don't have discernment. It's really strange. And I know people that are so accurate, and they'll listen to someone else. Have you heard? And that person's so far off. I'm like, man, you can't discern that. Man, you're way better than that. What is going on? But it's like a different gifting.
Yeah.
And people with teaching gifts, a lot of them have more discernment.
So a prophet would have more, like you're saying, of the gift of the Spirit in operation than just the gift of prophecy.
Right. Word
right.
of knowledge, word
right.
of wisdom, or discerning
He
of
would
spirits.
Have, right, revelation gifts operating along with his prophecy. An example of someone like that, I believe, and you can always correct me, I don't mind, Jonathan Kahn is someone that operates in the ministry and the gift.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, because he can foretell, right, and forthtell.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in his literature, in his books, and when he speaks. So when I think about someone that I can actually see and hear today, because I know that Hagen, I love Hagen too. But for those who are listening, I mean, I don't know, David, would you put Jonathan Kahn as a prophet and operates in the gift and in the ministry of prophecy of a prophet?
I would.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely
so just,
would.
Just for the listener to understand what we're saying, because mm-hmm. he, yeah. So thank you so much.
You're
yeah.
welcome.
Yeah.
Glad to agree.
Yeah, because you know him also.
For many years.
And I've listened to, I've read his book. So in sharing about him, he's the first person I would think of that I actually know and hear and witness and is here today with us
yep.
physically.
And I would agree with you when I think of Jonathan Kahn, the word prophet comes to mind first.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
And I want to say, too, that usually people are either gifted in personal prophecy or gifted in, like, world.
He's world, yeah.
Yeah. Very few.
He might be gifted in personal, but then. Yeah.
Very few were gifted in both. Bob Jones was, but there's not most people. And you'll see if you're around one that's gifted in the one area, like, say, their personal prophecy accurately.
He might be, because he personally prophesied over Trump when Trump was in a meeting. He yeah.
But a lot of times you'll see them, they start stretching over into the other arena and miss it big time. Mm-hmm. But they're very accurate in the arena that they're anointed in. And so that's just something else to look out for, too.
Right. So I'm going to repeat what James said earlier. To stand in the office of prophet, a person must have operating in his ministry the gift of prophecy, plus at least two of the revelation gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, or discerning of the spirits. Right?
Right.
Amen. So do not confuse the office of prophet with the gift of prophecy.
Yes.
Amen.
And we want the gift of prophecy. It says, eagerly seek after it, covet to prophesy. So it's okay. Don't think you're getting proud.
Office of prophet is a daily walk. It's your calling, basically. It's different.
It's an administration.
It's an administration. Thank you. Yeah.
Which is
and
a
then,
different.
Like, the Holy Spirit is when needed. I mean, the Holy Spirit, the gift of prophecy, happens when needed.
And some people that everybody usually has two gifts that they don't even, if they're not operating them yet, they will be if they press into God. And some people, that is like their main gift of prophecy. Doesn't mean they're prophet, but they move in it a lot where it doesn't mean if you don't, like, say you have discerning of spirits and a teaching gift. Or pastoral gift.
It doesn't mean you can't move
in prophecy. Amen. You can move in any of the gifts as God chooses at any moment.
Amen. Amen. Because they're for all.
Yes.
I want to keep saying that. It's so
him.
Important. Because,
it's him.
Yes, I feel there's going to be a
big
movement.
I love giving this story. I've been beating it to death lately and all the churches I go in. If my brother lives up in, say, Andalusia, Alabama, and Luann says, I'm going to Andalusia, Alabama. I said, man, my brother lives here. I owe him $2,000. I need you to give him this. And she, oh, no, I can't do it. What do you mean? Oh, I'm not worthy to give him No, it's my money. Just give him this $2,000. Oh, you don't know what I did last night. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Someone's in a wheelchair. Oh, man, if I'd have been fasting or you don't know what I did. Oh, and the enemy just gives you all. Now, you felt fine 5 minutes before you saw the guy in the wheelchair.
Yeah, right.
Now, all of a sudden, you feel like the lowest person on the planet because the devil does not want you praying for that person.
Right.
And he's making you think of everything you've done in the last year.
Always do the opposite.
Yes.
If you start feeling that way, that means you've been called.
Amen.
Amen, right? So all can have the gift of prophecy, which God told us to covet, but not all are called into the office of a prophet. All can prophesy, but we can't all be prophets. Okay, so some think that to prophesy means to preach. All inspired utterance is prophecy. All inspired utterance is prophecy. Okay, so the gift of prophecy is bringing forth some foretelling, not foretelling. Hallelujah, right? So what is foretelling? It means to proclaim God's message or truth as revealed in Scripture. Gift of prophecy. That's where that stands in, right? It focuses on God's revelation, reveals God's word. And foretelling means predicting future events based on divine revelation, all right? And that's words of wisdom, knowledge, discerning of the spirit, and that's the office of prophecy, right?
Yeah.
Amen.
And prophecy, any future part is the gift of prophecy. Past, knowing knowledge, I can know everything about you. Your name's this, social security. So I've seen him give someone the bank account before. That really scared the guy to death, the inner word of knowledge. So past is knowledge. It's knowledge that's already there that you can possibly know.
Right.
Whereas a lot of times people start with that and go into future, but I'm always careful, like, okay, I know he has to get to word of knowledge. That was that. But is this real, Lord? And I'll try to discern if it's from the Lord because they start going into future.
Because we're supposed to test the spirit.
Yeah, but like Kim Clement, you know, would prophesy and Trump would have two terms, and the guy that prophesied he'd get shot by the ear, that was real prophecy, and he was on there 2 days before the election. Stop with all this nonsense. He's getting in. I've seen it. You can't change it. I mean, he's throwing his whole ministry out there. He knew. He knows what he sees. He prophesied Iran. He kept saying, I'm telling you, we're going to be bombing Iran. Israel's going to be bombing Iran. There's bunkers. He's been saying this for 6 months, and now it's all happening. And there's tons of stuff the president of Canada. He prophesied that he was going to get ousted. So it's just future stuff, I'm just saying, versus word of knowledge is past stuff. And they're all, man, pride tries to hit when usually when I get it. I mean, I feel that thing try to come on me. I don't know, that spirit tries to attack you. So we don't want to get proud. It's God doing it. Thank you, Lord, for using us.
Amen. So when the gift of prophecy is used, as the scripture instructs, it is a great blessing. It blesses people. It blesses the church. It edifies, it exhorts, and comforts. Okay? So remember, the prophet's ministry is the office, and it brings forth the revelation, the unknown, the future of events. While the gift of prophecy is to edify the church within truth that's already revealed in Scripture. Okay?
I just want to say, if I can, God speaks through impressions most commonly. Mm. He speaks through a knowing, which is a little stronger. He can give you a vision where you just see it in your mind, your imagination, or you can have an open vision, which is you actually see it. It looks real.
Amen.
Even more than one person can see the same open vision. It can open like a movie screen on your wall, or he can speak internal audibly or audibly from the outside. And that's very, very rare. Most people have never heard that. So you got to be willing to step out on the impressions, because that's where you're going to get most of the stuff.
So God wouldn't tell us to pray for prophecy, right?
Yeah.
If he wasn't willing to give it to us. He wants all believers to prophesy. And I want to make sure that we get that, we understand that. So if you're feeling like, just pray for prophecy, to be able to prophesy, to edify. And when we pray for that, what we're praying for is to edify, encourage, and comfort others, to serve others.
Amen.
Amen, right? And the goal is to love and be loved, because God wants to use you and work through you to love the church and love the unbeliever. He wants the unbeliever to see him. So we love everybody listening. We're happy you joined us today. And James, you want to pray for us? We don't have too much time.
Father, I ask that you bless everyone listening, Lord, and open our hearts. And Father, give us courage to step out when you speak to us. And Father, I just ask that you impart prophetic giftings into everyone listening, Lord, that's seeking, and giftings of healing and different, all your giftings, Lord. I ask you, pour your gifts out upon your body, Lord, and that we'll use them for your glory. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. And we love everyone that's listening. And just join us next week at 5 o'clock. You're listening to WCNO 89.9. And again, my name is Luann, and you can call me at 631-745-7980. I do a Saturday Zoom if you want that information, Coffee with Christ. And we also do, just to remind everybody, that Workforce Discipleship has, for the women, a few beds open, and for some men. So if you want to contact me for working homeless situation, you can do that also. And once again, we love you. We agape you. Shalom, shalom. And listen next week, right, James?
Amen.
Oh, and we're going to probably have Pastor Tom on again. I don't know if he's coming in next week. I will let you know. Well, we won't let you know. You'll know. Praise God. Shalom, amen. Shalom.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Start smart.
Heart Learning Center offers a fun, nurturing, faith-based space for your child to grow and succeed. We are now enrolling children ages 1 to 5 years old. Visit our website at startsmartlc.org or call us at 772-281-4121 to give your child the head start they deserve. Jesus
loves me. Hello, I'm Pastor Jerome Ryan, the founder and CEO of the Love Center. We've been serving the region for over 30 years, helping families rebuild their lives. We're expanding our services. The Workforce Discipleship Center